Tune in to Bible Issues with Dr. Denver Chedi and Induo Rampol Chedi every first and third Wednesday at 2:15 p.m. to 2:30 p.m.
Learn to hear God's voice through the Word of God to live a victorious and overcoming life.
Bible Issues every first and third Wednesday at 2:15 p.m. to 2:30 p.m.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Bible Issues. My name is Dr. Denver Chedi. Over the past few weeks, I've been studying from the book of Nehemiah, and I would like to read a few verses from chapter 5 of that book. Now, as you know, Nehemiah is a story about a layman who was burdened with the task of rebuilding the broken-down walls of Jerusalem. And in that process, there was a lot of opposition. And the opposition that Nehemiah felt could be categorized into two things: external opposition and internal opposition. And those same principles could apply to any work of God. There are two sources of problems and opposition: external, from the devil, from the world, from your jobs, financial, and internal, from within the church, from your pastor, from other Christians. So Nehemiah chapter 5 is talking about internal opposition to the work of God. Verse 1, "And there was a great outcry of the people and their wives against their Jewish brethren. For there were those who said, 'We, our sons and our daughters are many, therefore let us get grain that we may live and eat.' Others said, 'We have mortgaged our lands and vineyard and houses, that we might buy grain because of the famine.' Some said, 'We have borrowed money for the king's taxes on our lands and vineyards. Yet now our flesh is as the flesh of our brethren, our children are as their children. And indeed, we are forcing our sons and daughters to be slaves, and some of our daughters have been brought into slavery. It is not in our power to redeem them, for other men have our lands and vineyard.'" So that's the complaint. They were being exploited by their fellow Jewish brethren. So Nehemiah in verse 6, "I became angry when I heard the outcry of the people and these words. And after serious thought, I rebuked the nobles and the rulers." So he considered their claims, weighed both sides of the story, and came to the conclusion that the nobles and the rulers were at fault. "I rebuked the nobles and rulers and said to them, 'Each of you is exacting usury from his brethren.' So I called a great assembly against them, and I said to them, 'According to our ability, we have redeemed our Jewish brethren who were sold to the nations. Now indeed, will you sell your brethren? What you are doing is not good. Should you not walk in the fear of our God because of the reproach of the nations, our enemies?" So he's telling them that what they're doing by exploiting their brethren is lack of fear of God. "I also, with my brethren and my servants, am lending them money and grain." So instead of Nehemiah taking from them, he's actually lending them money to help them out. "Please let us stop with this usury. Restore now unto them, even this day, their lands, their vineyards, their olive groves, and their houses, and also 100 of the money and the grain, the new wine and oil that you have charged them." And they said, "We will restore it, and we will require nothing from them. We will do as you say." Then I called the priests and required an oath from them that they would do according to this promise. Then I shook out the fold of my garment and said, "So may God shake out each man from his house and from his property who does not perform this promise. Even thus he may be shaken out and emptied." Going down to verse 14, "Moreover, from that time that I was appointed to be their governor in the land of Judah, neither I nor my brothers ate the governor's provisions. But the former governors who were before me laid burdens on the people and took from them bread and wine, besides 40 shekels of silver. Yes, even their servants bore rule over the people, but I did not so because of the fear of God." So, very powerful scripture, very strong words, and there are certain areas where Christians like to tread very carefully. A lot of people are angry with me because a lot of comments that I made on the radio, they say I shouldn't criticize pastors, They say I shouldn't criticize church leaders, but here is Nehemiah lambasting the leaders of the people because of their exploitation. They were exploiting the people. And Nehemiah contrasted himself and his behavior to the governors that went before him and the other nobles and the rulers who were presiding over the people. They saw an opportunity to get money from the people. So they charged them taxes for their land, their houses. They caused them to sell their children into slavery. They took advantage, they exploited the adverse circumstances of their fellow Jews. Nehemiah, on the other hand, said, "As the governor, I am entitled to all of these provisions, but I'm not taking it because I do not want to be taken from the people. On the other hand, I will lend to the people because they have need. They're in a desperate situation and I want to help them out." And the reason he did that is because of the fear of God. As church leaders, do we live in the fear of God? The fear of God does dictate that you make life decisions that don't take advantage or abuse the responsibility and the calling that God has placed upon your life. And I ask this question to pastors, to church leaders: are you abusing the power that God has given you? Are you abusing your authority? Are you walking in the fear of God, or are you blatantly disregarding the fear of God and exploiting God's people? One of the things we learned from this passage is the true motivation behind a leader's actions, and their motivation could be determined by their actions. Nehemiah was entitled to all of the provisions of a governor, but he said he refused all of them, whereas the other governors cashed in. Your actions betray your true motivations. Nehemiah's actions remind us of the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul said, "As an apostle, I'm entitled to a lot of things. I'm entitled to financial provision, but I have not used any of them. I have not taken an offering from the church. I have not taken a salary from the church. Why? Because I want to work to give." Now, he was entitled to it. Don't get me wrong. He's made it very clear. He was entitled to it. But he rather worked with his hands so that he could give to people. And his goal was to lay up treasure in heaven. And as we know, Paul made tents for a living. And that's how he supported himself financially. Sometimes business was good. Sometimes it was not good. Because he said, "I know how to be hungry and I know how to live in abundance." That's how Paul operated, and that's a decision that he made. Even though he was entitled to XYZ, he decided, "No, I'm not going to take it. I want to give because my true motivation is to build the kingdom of God, not to take care of myself and my loved ones." And I have to ask the hard question: what is your motivation in doing Christian work? Whether your name is pastor, apostle, prophet, teacher, evangelist, or what have you, what is your true motivation? Is your true motivation to make sure your family is taken care of first and then everybody else? Or is your true motivation to make sure that God's people are equipped to do God's work and that God's kingdom takes priority? Jesus said, "Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all other things shall be added unto you." So the question is not whether something is important or not. The question is, what is more important? What is more important, your personal needs or God's kingdom? Everybody will give the correct answer to that question. But the real test is not the answer that you give. The real question is, what do your actions suggest? We could determine your intention based on your actions. Jesus talked about the good shepherd versus the hireling. The good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. The hireling runs when he sees danger coming because he's only concerned about himself. He is just a hired hand. He's doing it primarily for money. And he will not sacrifice himself for the sheep because he's not a true shepherd. He is just a hireling. So a shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. A hireling runs from danger, and a wolf is the source of danger to the sheep. So Christians have to ask themselves these hard questions. my pastor, my church leaders. Are they a shepherd, a hireling, or a wolf? Are they laying down their life for me? Are they just doing it for money? Or are they exploiting? Those are very important questions. I did an interview in the radio a few days ago, and one of the questions that the interviewer mentioned was, what advice do I have for single Christians who want to get married, but their pastor will not release them to get married? And I couldn't believe that question. I couldn't believe the insanity that passes for some people's church experiences. Your pastor won't release you to get married? What madness is that? First of all, the Bible says, who the Son sets free is free indeed. Why do you need a pastor to release you from anything? Are you being held captive in your pastor's basement? You don't need your pastor to release you from anything. It is astonishing the kind of bondage that Christians allow themselves to be placed in. You don't need a pastor to release you to get married, unless of course you're already married to the pastor, unless the pastor is your father or something. Your pastor doesn't own your life. The Bible says, the greatest among you shall be your servant. Your pastor is your servant, not your boss. A few weeks ago, there was a major outcry by pastors in this country to open back up churches after the COVID lockdown. And in recent times, I've heard about the deaths of quite a number of pastors, tragic deaths of their family members, other church members. And as much as my heart breaks for everyone who was affected by COVID, we have to ask the hard questions. You are the ones who wanted churches to be opened back so quickly. You were the ones who were pushing this mad rush to open back churches when COVID cases are still spreading like crazy. And why? Why were they pushing to open back churches? Everybody knows the answer to that question. And I'm sorry that I have to be the one to say it, but we all know that the tithes took a hit in the last year and a half. The precious tithes and offerings that pastors' families need to live. And there was mounting pressure on pastors, probably from their families, to open back churches to get the money mill flowing once again. I am appalled that so many pastors put their lives, their family lives, their congregants' lives in jeopardy just for the almighty dollar. That has to be a sin. They would push the idea on people, oh, the churches need to be open because the church is the first line of defense against COVID. No, that is not true. First of all, the church is not a building that needs to be open or closed. The church is a people, and wherever the people meet, that is church. You don't need a church building to pray. You could pray at home. You could pray on Zoom. You could pray in your bedroom. You could pray at work, in your car. Prayer is not limited to the church building. In my humble opinion, I think pastors were too rash in their rush to open back churches. I think it was irresponsible and reckless. And as a result, many of them have put their own lives in danger, their families, and the members of their congregation. Why? Just because the money wasn't flowing in. That can't be right, people. And you have to ask the hard questions based on the scripture we just read from Nehemiah. What kind of leader are you dealing with? A shepherd, a hireling, or a wolf? Remember again, the shepherd lays down his life for his people. The hireling runs when he sees danger coming. The wolf is himself the source of that danger. Very hard questions, but too many Christians are living in bondage, and I hope that I could somehow provoke you to snap out of that bondage that you have placed yourself in. I'm not saying that your pastor put you in that bondage. You put yourself in that bondage by allowing him to do that. Snap out of it. Ask the hard questions. The Bible says to test all things, prove all things, and hold fast to that which is good. God bless you. We'll see you next time.
Tune in to Bible Issues with Dr. Denver Chady and Induo Rampal Chady every first and third Wednesday at 2:15 p.m. to 2:30 p.m.
Learn to hear God's voice through the Word of God to live a victorious and overcoming life.
Bible Issues every first and third Wednesday at 2:15 p.m. to 2:30 p.m.